welcome to Hot Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction, haunted entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And today we're turning it into a conference-related podcast.
I wonder why that's on your mind.
It's a little bit stuck in the brain, I gotta admit. But it's actually something we had talked about previously. Both on this podcast. We've had several podcasts where we've touched on it.
Right.
And we've actually talked about it between each other, saying, hey, we actually probably should, really cover this.
Right.
Especially since we have now friends who are getting into the conference business.
Yes.
And others looking to start conferences. So we are just giving general advice for creating or starting a haunted attraction conference. Because we want our conference reminders to be just as full as possible. We love that section of our show.
And that's our favorite part.
Our favorite part. No. This podcast, for the record, is Haunt Weekly. If you did not intend to listen to Haunt Weekly, please disembark now.
Or stay.
Or stay. You might actually enjoy it. Who knows? You can find us at hauntweekly.com or also Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. tinyurl.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. We have all of the previous episodes there for easy listening. You can also find us at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you prefer to get your podcast action from, we're there.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of those conference reminders, it's episode 171. That makes it an odd episode. You're the oddball. Please do us a service and
that
start.
That joke never gets old, just like your others.
Indeed it doesn't.
All right, March 21st through the 24th. That's coming up soon.
Transworld. That sounds recent and relevant.
It does. Transworld, Halloween and attraction show at St. Louis, Missouri at the America Center, co-located with Transworld's Christmas show. And they will be touring Darkness and Lent Brewery. It'll be behind-the-scenes tours. Features a party at City Museum on Thursday, a performance by the Vampire Circus on Friday, and a vampire ball on Saturday. It's Vampires Bloodsucking for All. Hashow.com, HAASHOW, for more info.
Ma'am. All right, after that, it's the West Coast Haunters Convention, May 10th through the 12th, in Portland, Oregon, at the Doubletree Hotel, Portland. Touring Nightmare Factory Haunted House also includes a costume ball, a silent auction, and the Nightmare After West Coast Haunters Convention Film Festival with a secret selection of films. HauntersConvention.com for more.
Okay, May 17th through the 19th, it's the Ohio Halloween and Haunters Convention, Ohio State Reformatory. It's going to be in Mansfield, Ohio, touring six haunted houses, a pre-show of Hauntville, the Hudson House, and Haunted Hydro. During the week, they will be going to Blood Prison, Lessons in Fear, and Trail of Nightmares. It'll include a Freaker's Ball costume party, ghost hunt, and more. Ohio Halloween and HauntersConvention.com.
Need a drink? After saying that name?
Yeah.
All right.
Stop teasing them.
I know.
We like them.
We do like them. We like them a lot. And here I am being mean about their 18,000 letter domain name.
Yeah, well, you do that every week.
So. Yes, I do. That joke never gets old either.
Mm-mm.
Don't know if you noticed. All right, after that, it's the Midwest Haunters Convention in Schaumburg, Illinois, June 7th through 9th. We were in Schaumburg. We stayed in Schaumburg.
We did.
It's at the Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center Hotel. There'll be tours of Dead Rising, Midnight Terror, Massacre, Haunted House, Basement of the Dead, and Hell's Gate. All haunts we can test to, and they are awesome. MidwestHauntersConvention.com for more details.
Okay. Then June 21st through the 23rd, it is Michigan Haunt Fest, the Oaks Campground in Munith, Michigan. It'll feature make and takes, a campsite decorating contest, and a pancake breakfast. Who doesn't like pancakes? Well, Ellie.
She doesn't like maple syrup.
Yeah, but in Michigan, are you going to get any other kind?
Probably not.
Yeah. So some of the proceeds benefit the Humane Society Michigan Haunt Fest, .weebly.com.
All right, we have a new one.
Yay.
Just announced, hot off the meat truck.
Yes, I believe Brian turned us on to this. Thank you, Brian.
Yes, it was announced just last week, though. The Haunter Horde Gathering in Mount Carroll, Illinois. And if that name sounds familiar, it should for a reason. It is taking place at the Mount Carroll Bowling Center. It's July 27th. The main attraction is a tour of Raven's Grin Inn. They'll have an auction for Scares That Care and Don't Be a Monster. There is free pizza and paid for booze.
Yeah.
Admission to this is only $5. So, where do you go with that?
You go to Mount Carroll, Illinois with that. That's where you go.
You're touring Raven's Grin Inn. That is less than the price of admission to Raven's Grin Inn.
Yeah.
Just stop and think about the words I just said.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Raven's Grin Inn. It's an amazing experience. We were fortunate enough to do it, I think, 2 years ago.
Right.
We did it during the middle of the summer. We were the only people who toured. He gave us a 3-hour tour. It was like Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
If Gilligan's Island had gone to plan. had a great time. If you have not been to Raven's Grin Inn and you are anywhere near this area, go to this, please.
And if you have been there, you know what you're missing if you don't go.
Yes.
So go.
Yeah, I mean, and the hotel that's right there on site, I just drew a blank on the name for it. come on.
We were literally just talking about it. I know.
And I think I've actually got the tab still. Here it is. I've got it open. I've still got it open. The Bridgewater Inn.
Yes.
The Bridgewater Inn is right there in the heart of downtown Mount Carroll. Downtown Mount Carroll. Let's work on that expression sometime.
Yeah,
it's right
bit.
There. It's literally half a block, pretty much one block away from Raven's Grin Inn. And it's about 2 blocks away from the convention center.
Right.
Or where they're holding the bowling center. It's a small town.
It is.
It's an extremely small town, but it is an extremely great haunt. Just don't expect your cell phone to be working while you're there.
No. Can they find out more?
They can learn more at Haunter Horde, HAUNTER, Horde, HORDE.com.
Okay. July 27th through the 28th, it's the Texas Haunters Convention in Mesquite, Texas, at the Mesquite Convention Center. It features a meet and greet and a costume ball, and I'm sure that they will be releasing more info at TexasHauntersConvention.com.
The trade show floor that is filling up, I just checked it out not that long ago. So yeah, if you're interested in vending there, you might want to jump on it. The booth prices are extremely reasonable, and they're filling up.
Yeah, if there were any way that we could go, we would be considering a booth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not allowed in that building.
No, you are not. Luckily, that is just you.
Yes.
And you are literally probably the only person in the country with that allergy, so no one else has much to fear.
Exactly. Everybody else, go have fun. Tell me all about it. You can tell me about it at Haunt Weekly.
Yes, at Haunt Weekly on Facebook, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, and HauntWeekly.com. We have an email form now.
Yes. I don't think we've gotten a single email.
I don't think we have. Everyone's been messaging us through Facebook. That's fine. It works.
It's probably the faster way to get to us, honestly.
Old habits die hard, though.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, look, guys, and if you've seen the post on our Facebook page, which is Haunt Weekly.
We've just been over this.
You know that I've been conferencing all weekend. I had a 2.5-day event, and I still want to know, who the hell planned the earliest thing for the Sunday after Spring 4 time change?
Yeah, that was mean. They were evil.
That is.
And even though you were conferencing 2.5 days, we were hanging out and showing one of the conference goers, who we hit it off with, the city. So we were out very late.
And also doing other conference-related things, too.
Exactly.
I had that dinner on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't see you much this weekend.
No, you did not. And I'm sure you're much happier for it.
No.
Aw, how so sweet. But yes, I've been attending the International ICAI, which is kind of weird because it stands for the International...
Academic.
No.
No.
International Center for Academic Integrity. I always want to say it that way.
Okay.
I've been
Why you've been... So you've had it beaten into your head over the weekend.
Yes.
I have not yet.
And that's why every time... But it's the International ICAI Conference, which of course makes the II redundant. But the point is, they also have regional conferences.
Right. So first tip, don't name your conference redundantly.
I am really... I'm reasonably sure they did not play them this far when because it was originally the CAI, the Center for Academic Integrity.
Right.
And then they wanted to put the focus on the international aspect, so they named it the ICAI.
Uh-huh.
And then the ICAI began the International ICAI Conference.
No, it should have just been the ICAI with the acronym spelled out.
Well, actually,
out.
The conference goes back to way, but it's confusing as all hell.
It
anyways,
doesn't
it was
matter.
A great conference. I had a great time. But, you know, met a lot of great people. They had about 250 attendees, including some, over 150 new people, which is the impressive part. And these guys have been doing this conference fairly consistently for 27 years. To my knowledge, they've only skipped 1 year.
Okay.
And it was due to some complications. But yeah, if you couldn't tell from like the first act of this show, this is an industry that's pretty big on conferences, especially a lot of smaller ones.
Right.
We have our big dogs, we have our HauntCon, we have our Trans Worlds.
Yeah.
But we also have a slew of medium and smaller ones too.
Yeah.
Like I'm pretty sure, you know, Haunter Horde renting out the bowling alley in Mount Carroll, Texas is not going to be a huge affair.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is awesome.
Yeah.
A, it's affordable.
Yeah.
$5. Pizza provided.
Yeah. How are they doing that? How are they doing $5 for the pizza and the tour?
Maybe they're charging... It doesn't say on the site. Maybe they're charging for Raven's Grin separately. But
maybe.
I don't know. This is pretty crazy stuff. You know, this
is
an amazing deal.
Yeah.
I am blown away by that ticket price. Like I said, if I could get there, I would.
Yes.
But anyways... And we have friends who are starting conferences now, or looking or thinking about starting them.
Right.
And we actually have a little bit of experience in this area.
Yeah.
I have been responsible for planning smaller conferences and events in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Never did anything super large. You, however, have organized much larger events.
Right.
You organized the State Science Fair, I believe, for South Carolina.
Yes. I helped with that and with the South Carolina Academy of Science National Competition.
Which was a pretty large event.
Or state competition.
State competition.
Where you go to nationals if you win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a pretty large event. And you also did the annual meetings for that group.
Right.
Which were much smaller affairs, but still.
Yeah. Well, right now I do probably 13.
Yeah.
13 or more events a year that have to be marketed and all that kind of stuff.
So we have at least a modicum of knowledge here.
Right.
And here's the thing, is even with all these smaller conferences, there's still areas that are underserved or unserved completely.
Right.
And a good example is New Orleans post 2020.
Yeah, exactly.
Once HauntCon leaves in 2021, there will be no conference or convention in the New Orleans or Gulf Coast area.
Right. And I was going to bring this up later, but since you brought it up now, you and I need to talk about that, because maybe we can set up something that's more like the bar camp that we will explain later.
Yeah, we're going to explain that concept later.
Yeah.
Something informal.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, many of you, maybe even us, apparently, are starting to think about a conference or a gathering for the haunted attraction industry. We're here to help.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, a lot of this stuff is relevant to all conferences, because basically, on some level, a conference is a conference is a conference.
Right.
But us haunters do have some unusual problems, and we're going to go over those, especially more toward the end.
Yeah.
So, okay. If you're thinking about doing it, the first thing to do before you even put word one down is get your business stuff in order.
Yeah.
In most states, it is very easy to set up an LLC or some other corporation. I would seriously consult with a lawyer and say, we're looking to do this. Because here's the thing. Everyone's like, oh, lawyers are so expensive and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, lawyers are expensive if you take up a lot of their time.
Right.
Like a trial or a lawsuit or something.
Yeah.
If you come in and take up like 30 minutes of their time and they kick you down the right path.
Yeah.
Or even if they fill out the forms for you, maybe do another 30 minutes.
Right.
It's not that much, guys.
No. And in fact, I know that the attorney that I worked for, it was a free consultation, but as soon as he did any work for you, like the first 30 minutes or whatever was free consultation. And then after that, he would charge you a very reasonable amount.
Yeah. So, I mean, in his case, and this is just speaking to him, you could theoretically get him to advise you on all this for under $100 probably.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know? It's really
that's
not
probably with getting
the
contracts and stuff in place too, because you will need contracts.
Yeah. So do your business stuff. Get the paperwork in order and do seek the advice of an attorney. I highly recommend it. I am not an expert in this area.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, basically what you want to avoid is a conference is a risky proposition for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
You as a business are probably going to take on some degree of debts, even if it's small.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want your personal stuff to be impacted by this goes upside down, this
right.
goes sideways. Conferences are risky, and I hate to say that and try to deter you, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And because conferences are risky, the first piece of advice I will give anyone, start small.
Yes.
Here's the thing, guys, and this is something that seems totally counterintuitive. Totally crazy. But it is easier and cheaper to plan for an event under about 50 people than it is a larger event. In fact, if you can get it under 25, do a really small, fairly intimate get-together.
Mm-hmm.
It may not seem like much of a conference, but if you get disparate people from all over the region, it can be very effective.
Yeah. Now, I disagree a little bit with this, because I think that if a conference leaves your area and there's already a built-in audience, that you can go big.
Well, and I think
it's going to be more difficult
I think,
for the reasons you're about to list.
Okay. I think the risk of going big, and mm-hmm. going really big especially, is that it's going to cost more money.
Yeah.
And that means more risk. Even with the infrastructure in place,
right.
it's going to cost a lot of money. Now, that risk may be lessened by the fact there is an established audience and there's reason to assume that people will show up.
Right.
I mean, like, when the people behind Halloween and Haunt Fest launched their new one, shoot, I just forgot, the Texas Haunters Convention.
How
did I forget the name of
that?
I
don't know.
My brain is... Bleh.
Yeah.
But yeah. But long story short, even in that case, they're launching a fairly medium, probably what would be considered a medium-sized conference.
Mm-hmm.
Low triple digits in the number of people.
Yeah.
Not huge, but definitely not tiny either.
Right.
But they're having to shell out money, they're having to make expenses, and they're taking on risk.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's something that can be avoided by targeting a much smaller crowd.
It can be.
Because here's the thing. The cost not only goes up in aggregate when you get larger, but it goes up per person, too. As weird as that sounds, you might think that, oh, well, you know, we should be able, yeah, it'll cost more to have a 500-person conference than a 50.
Right.
But it'll be less expensive per person. You know, we can charge. That's not how it actually pans out.
No, it's not. I mean,
and the reason for that is there's huge, like, thresholds you cross.
Yeah.
Like, you can probably find an event space that'll hold 25 to 50 people fairly quickly and fairly cheaply.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of effort.
No, it's not.
You could do the Mount Carroll Bowling Alley.
You could do a community center, and it would be perfectly
fine. Yeah, a small community center. Don't need anything fancy.
Lions Club.
A Lions Club type thing. You can work with just about anything of any size at that point.
Right.
I mean, heck, you can probably do it in the back warehouse of a haunted attraction.
Yeah.
You can almost have it just about anywhere. But once you cross that threshold to where you need space for 100 people and you need to be able to shuffle them from one thing to another,
mm-hmm.
you're going to need a convention center. You're going to need a conference center.
Right.
You're going to need a place designed for this.
Mm-hmm.
And those cost a lot of money. So starting small frees you from that. Also, there's a huge leap from, basically, you can only buy so much goddamn pizza. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Assume one pizza will feed about 4 people.
Well, and this is if you're providing lunch.
If you're providing food, you know, but if you're providing any food, you know, one pizza will feed 4 people. So if you have 40 people, you buy 10 pizzas.
Oh, unless they're college kids.
Well, unless they're... Oh, okay, yes. That obviously is wrong.
Because we buy, like, 8 pizzas for 25 people.
What the fuck?
And it's all gone. All but maybe, like, 3 pieces.
Wow. Okay. That's math I had not heard before.
Yeah.
All right. But anyways, you can't buy that many pizzas... You can't call up Domino's and get that many pizzas for 250 or 500 people. It doesn't work. So you've got to plan a catering operation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to move the next step up that ladder. So in short, if you've never done a conference before, you just basically you need to start small.
Yeah.
Dip your toe in it. understand the basics of planning it, and don't overextend yourself financially, and don't overextend yourself with a workload. This keeps it simple and easy and cheaper. Like I said, if you've got experience and there's infrastructure in place, especially, you can do it.
Right.
You're right about that. If there's infrastructure in place, you've got the resources, and you've got the experience, fine. Go for it.
Right. Especially if you've if the convention center that you're working with is the place where the other conference left. They're going to want that money back.
Yeah.
They're not going to want to lose that.
This is more about, like, noobs at this.
Yes. Complete noobs. starting from nothing.
You pretty much never planned or never launched a conference before, and you don't have much infrastructure in place. Start small.
Yeah.
Please keep it small.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, consider the theme and the idea.
Mm-hmm.
What is the purpose of this conference? What are we trying to achieve? Why are people going to travel to this? Is it for local haunters? Is it to bring like-minded haunters? Are you trying to get home haunters? Are you trying to get mega haunters? Are you trying to get anything?
Is it more going to be more educational or more things to buy? What's it going to be?
Or is it just going to be a meet and greet?
Yeah.
Or like a powwow type thing where we're all sitting around talking? What are we going for? What's the angle here? My general advice there, once again, is to start local and focused.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could do like a New Orleans Haunters group.
Right.
Wouldn't be that bad. And that wouldn't be unmanageable in size, even including some of the bigger haunted attractions in the area.
Yeah.
You could do something like that pretty easily. But if you've got a big community, like in Chicago...
Mm-hmm.
You might want to start with, like, Chicago Home Haunters.
Yeah.
You know, focus it down a little more.
Right, exactly.
Or something like that. Drill down a little bit. And here's the thing. A conference's focus can broaden much more easily than it can constrict.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at what HauntCon did.
Yeah.
HauntCon started fairly narrowly targeted at new or home haunters.
Yeah, and basically home haunters that were on the cusp and thinking about going pro.
Or ones who had just gone pro.
Yeah.
Or smaller haunts. There were some big names there, don't get me wrong. It wasn't
this.
But that was seen to who we the marketing material reached. With the buyout and everything that happened a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
HauntCon has shifted and is now more of a broad haunt convention that's now attached to the Party Expo.
Right.
Halloween and Party Expo, that's reaching a buying audience now.
Mm-hmm.
It's expanded a lot in that direction.
Right, and it's also giving the HauntCon vendors more exposure to people that they wouldn't have. You know, there were stories of the business side people coming over the HauntCon side and talking about, you know, can you make this many, and people's mouths dropping open because they weren't prepared for that question.
Yeah. They're in the HauntCon side.
Yeah.
They're used to making one or two at a time.
Yeah.
Like headdresses.
Yes.
Now, I mean, and Transworld has added a Christmas show. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I still haven't figured this one out, to be honest with you.
I think it's because everybody's trying to be open more.
I get that, but this Christmas show looks more like an actual show for Christmas events.
Yeah.
Rather than Haunch trying to do a Christmas show.
I don't know.
Anyway. Regardless, though, you can always expand the focus of a conference later.
Right.
But you can't really constrict it.
No, and once you give something, you can't take it away.
Exactly.
That's just business advice.
Yeah. In general, yeah. So, then ask yourself, what's the big hook? Why are people going to... What's going to bring them in? Is it a big speaker in your area?
Mm-hmm.
Are you bringing, like, a big speaker who will... or a special guest...
Yeah.
Who's coming? Is there a big haunter people might really want to meet or see them speak? Will there be a tour of a major haunted attraction nearby? Will they be getting something they can't normally get? What's going to draw your target audience in? Now, here's the thing. You nail that down before you do pretty much anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to have the answers to that question even before you start really booking your venue.
Right.
And the reason for that is simply because these questions might change where you want to have it.
Yeah.
And a good example is, well, again, I'm going to reference back to it again, the Haunter Horde. They're having the event in the Mount Carroll Bowling Alley because they wanted to be close to the big draw, the Tour of Raven's Grin Inn.
Yeah, exactly. That makes perfect
sense. Perfect sense. They're basically three blocks away from it, if I'm remembering right.
Yeah. If I were having a DIY expo or something, because I know that there's one of those, and I've never been to it.
The Hauntex, yeah.
Yeah. I would make sure that it was in a venue that was well-ventilated and outdoors, probably.
Or at the very possible. Least, was easy cleanup.
Easy cleanup, or in, that it was definite that the... wherever I was going to have it at did not have a problem with a mess.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. You need to think about these things before you start booking.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise you may book the least good venue for it.
Yeah.
Like the DIY Expo would not have gone well at the conference center I was just at.
Right.
With this gorgeous tables and carpeted floors.
Ritzy ritz.
Ritzy ritzy ritzy. And yeah, they could have laid down some tarp and stuff and whatever, but you know.
Right. Yeah, they could have done that, but they didn't, because yeah. That wasn't that kind of conference.
Exactly. I guess they could have mitigated, but it didn't make any sense. So, here's the thing. This brings us... Shoot, I just lost my place in the speaker notes. I'm having a really rough day, apparently. I am sorry, guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, nail those down before you pick your place. And long story short... start from there and work on finding low cost or free activities that you and your conference people can do.
Right.
But they're still special. Like, consider things that can only really happen in a group setting.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the classic examples in the industry is the Lights on Haunt Tour.
Yeah.
If I roll up to 13th Gate right now and say, hey, I want a Lights on Tour... Well, if Dwayne's there, he might actually do it, because he's crazy like that. It's a bad example.
I don't think he's there right this second.
Probably not.
He might be, but...
But... if we say, hey, in a few weeks' time,
right.
Can we bring 30 or 40 people for a tour? It's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It sounds a little different.
Right.
So, yeah. And also, remember, just keep in mind that the longer you have the event, the more that you have to provide it, or the more that your guests have to worry about.
Yeah.
Lodging costs, food costs, etc. go up. Always keep in mind... that the ticket price of your conference is not the only cost. For example, and I'm going to keep using it, Hunter Horde.
Yeah.
We went to that. The $10 would not be our price.
No. No.
The airfare, yeah. Car rental, hotel.
Food.
Food. All that's the price.
Yeah.
And that's why we can't go.
Yes, exactly.
You can do a lot in a one-day event.
Mm-hmm.
And a one-day event... can actually make it so that maybe people will stay one night in a hotel, but those that are really close might just in and out on it.
Yeah.
That's really appealing. There's a lot to be said about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So choosing a location. I'm going to say right off the bat that hotels can be very tricky.
No kidding.
Look, hotels with conference centers will practically throw the keys to the conference center at you.
Yes.
If you mention bringing a conference to them. It's like, conference? And
yes.
Many of them will do this. Not all, but many.
Right.
Will all but, like, hand it over to you, you know, for conferences. But there is a problem. You have to sell out a block of rooms. Basically, now, your attendees are paying for your conference, for your space, through the hotel rooms they're renting.
Right.
You have, either will give you a block of hotel rooms, and you will have to sell a certain percent.
Right.
That's going to vary, depending on the contract. It might be 50%, might be 80%, might be 90%, God help you.
Yeah.
But if you fail to meet that goal, you're on the hook for a lot of money.
You are.
And we know of a conference, a very successful conference previously.
Yeah.
That died that way. It wasn't a haunted attraction conference.
No.
It was a tech conference.
Yeah.
But that's literally what killed it.
Yeah.
Was even though they had a very successful year in terms of attendance, the problem was... there were so many hotels nearby,
mm-hmm.
that were significantly cheaper. Very few people stayed, and not enough people stayed in the hotel.
Right. Not enough people stayed in the hotel, and not enough people ate at the hotel.
Yeah, they were trying to sell the food, too, in that one.
Yeah, they were on the hook for food cost.
Yeah.
Expecting everybody to eat there, and everybody went out and ate at the nearby restaurants.
Yeah, well, and that's one of the things to consider is this was a hotel in a downtown district.
Right.
It was in the heart of things. Heart of Dallas, specifically.
Yeah.
So, you could literally walk out the door and go to a dozen restaurants.
Yeah.
day and night.
Yeah.
Anytime you wanted. In fact, I think we found that really cool late night pancake place up the road.
Yeah, it was a diner. We went there with a bunch of people.
We went there with a bunch of damn near drunk people.
Well, you know.
It was a conference. What are you going to do? But so that can sink you. Now, I bet Halloween and Hauntfest doesn't have that problem.
No.
Or, I'm sorry, Texas Haunters Convention now.
Well, no, because
their hotel's the only one.
Yeah, they're the only thing right there.
Yeah.
So you get lunch there.
Yeah, you get your lunch there. You get your, and you stay at that hotel. There's only one other hotel in the walking distance. It was half a mile away, and it wasn't any cheaper.
No.
Always remember, though, if you do work with a hotel, that the quote-unquote room block rates are not really discount rates.
Right.
I don't know why. Like, people always say, we got these great discounted rate of $179 per night or whatever.
Yeah.
When usually you can go on the site and get the exact same rate.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the rate. I'm not saying they're going to get a cheaper rate. It may be the cheapest, like, walk-in rate that anyone can get. But it's not a super special conference-only rate. Shh, don't tell anyone, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like that either. So, yeah, something else to consider. Second, conference centers and event spaces can be really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really expensive. I actually looked up the one nearest us, Celebrations up the road.
Oh, okay.
I actually looked up their rates. They mostly do parties, but they do some conferencey stuff too. It's a small venue.
Yeah, it is.
But their big deal is they also provide food. But anyways, they charged between $25 and $40 per person with a minimum of 75 people for an event. And this only covers 3 hours. So if you wanted to do an all-day thing, it's going to be a lot more. But that might be... I don't know how much more, because you're only still probably feeding them one meal.
Right.
But yeah, something to consider.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're providing food at one of these, especially one of these conference center and event spaces, it's going to get pricey.
Yeah.
And it's going to get pricey per person very, very quickly. So you may want to look into alternative solutions. Several have been at haunted attraction.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other spaces that you can close out for a day or a night or a weekend or whatever. One good tip is if anyone's a member of a country club, you can often rent the event space at the country club super cheap. I know that sounds really weird for a haunted attraction convention, but it works.
Yeah.
It really does.
If it works and it's stupid, it's not stupid, right?
Exactly. That's the haunted motto, pretty much.
Yeah.
I would love to see a caravan of hearses and haunted attraction and people enter into a swanky country club to use the event space. I would pay money to see that.
Oh, gosh. Nothing.
Nothing? Okay,
keep
nothing.
Going.
Keep going. But yeah, basically, if you start... But this is one of the reasons to start small. Is because if you're small enough, you can probably find a conference-friendly space or something that can be adapted to it very quickly and easily without a lot of risk and without high cost. It's difficult. You might have to do some research and some creative thinking, but you can do it.
Yeah.
All right. Taking care of speakers and other special guests. If you're having a conference, there's a good chance you're going to have speakers who are going to give classes, or they're going to have at least a special guest who people are going to want to meet. Basically, you're going to have people there who, even though they're not working for you, are definitely not regular conference attendees.
Right.
The first thing to do, honestly, and I agree with you on this, is to vet your speakers.
Yeah.
Try to vet them. I mean, most of the time, and this has been true for pretty much every conference I've applied for, I've submitted a little thing online, it went out, and then, you know, they approved my topic based upon my text alone.
Right.
I went in and I spoke. And how many times have I heard from conference organizers, wow, we didn't know you could speak so well.
Yeah, exactly.
We didn't know you were like, I have a fucking speaking page on my website, Karen.
Yeah.
It's like no time to vet me.
Well, no, it isn't. But, mm-hmm. you know, and what you should, I don't know if you do this already, but what you could do on there is put links to videos of you actually giving talks.
I do have one on there.
Okay.
I have one embedded actually on that page.
Yeah.
I got to get a new one, more recent one, but yeah, I do have one.
Yeah, but you could ask for people organizing a conference, you could ask for those types of links.
But anyways, yeah, the long and short of it is try to vet your speakers, make sure that they are at least reasonably capable and reasonably knowledgeable. and there's not some yahoo trying to get a free ticket.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I've been to a conference where that's happened, but I've been to a conference where that's been probably the case.
Yeah.
Not any recently, though, honestly.
No.
But I think I'm on a good run.
Yeah, but there are definitely some speakers who are presenters, natural presenters, yeah. And some who aren't. It's like, you're the charismatic one.
Yeah.
I'm the practical dreamer.
But yes. But once you've decided who your guests of honor and speakers are, the general rule to remember is that with small conferences in particular, you don't have to pay speakers, mm-hmm. but you shouldn't force the speakers to pay to be there.
No kidding.
Basically, at the very, very minimum, anyone who speaks gets a free ticket.
Yeah.
And it should be, I mean, with HauntCon and other conferences I've spoken at, I've gotten, like, the main pass for everything. When yeah. I spoke at South By, it was a free gold badge. That got me into the Interactive Music and Interactive Festival, Interactive Music or Film Festival. I said Interactive twice.
Yes, that's okay.
Got me to all three festivals, but it didn't get me into any of the super high-end South By parties and things like that.
Right.
There were events I wasn't allowed into. They were super special VIP-type things. But it's a full pass.
Right.
That's the appropriate thing to do for your speakers.
Yeah.
At the very minimum.
Yeah. There have been a few conferences where it's been that plus a ticket.
Yeah.
You know,
and South By gave me a day pass to give out.
Right.
And it was tricky when I was bringing both you and Ellie. We had to steal someone else's, someone else's day pass to give to Ellie.
Right.
So basically Ellie was someone else's date for that night.
Yeah, to see your conference.
And see me speak in South By, yeah. So, long story short, yeah, make sure they don't have to pay to be there. If they're traveling a great distance, especially when it requires airfare and hotel, consider travel assistance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's always nice.
That's always nice, and it's always, I get that it's expensive, and I get that it's difficult, but it will help you lure much better speakers. You can get people from much further away, and people will put down things that maybe they were working on or, you know, take time out to go to something that they wouldn't have otherwise, because when you make it both a time sink and a money sink to be there and speak, speakers are less likely to do it.
Yeah.
It's really that simple. Okay.
You know what the next one of these should be?
What?
How to get good speakers, because you are one.
Okay.
How can we tempt you to come to our conference?
Basically what I just said. If you provide airfare... even realistically, just airfare, usually. Mm-hmm. Plus the ticket to the conference.
Yeah.
I'll probably go.
Yeah.
I'm willing to pay for my own hotel most of the times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really it. You approach me with that, and if it's a town, especially if it's a town I've never been to or a place I might want to go.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll probably come, too.
Yeah.
Because it's a place we've never been.
It's not that difficult to lure pretty good speakers.
No.
But it does take a little money, or at least a lot of time, if you're going to try to convince them without that.
Right.
One thing you may want to consider, especially if you're just starting out, is bar camp format. Now, the bar camp was called the Unconference.
Right.
I think it's still around. I think it's still a thing that happens.
Possibly,
but
I haven't looked it up in a while.
I haven't heard of one in New Orleans, but we had a couple in New Orleans a while back. But the main thing about bar camps is these are conferences without structure.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what happens is people get together, and people who want to speak on a subject will sign up.
Yeah.
And they will say, like, in this time, like, you'll have slots. You'll have a 9 to 9:30 or whatever slot all the way down. And they'll sign up for a slot to speak. Sign mm-hmm. up for a slot and room. And that way, if you know you really want to speak at one of these events, get there early. Get a place on the goddamn board. If you don't want to speak, you don't have to speak usually.
Mm-hmm.
And if the board's full when you get there and you didn't put your name on it, well, too bad, so sad, try again next year.
Yeah, exactly.
Get earlier.
Yeah.
That way, no one's really treated special or different, and you don't have to pay for your speakers, but you can get some really great educational sessions out of it.
Right. Now, some interesting topics, too.
Yeah, topics that you might not have thought of.
Yeah.
So, something to consider. Now, it does run into issues. Like, I remember at Bar Camp NOLA, there was, like, three topics about basic web design or something like that. do get people who talk about the same thing a lot. So maybe some controls to prevent that.
Mm-hmm.
But the format works really, really well a lot of the time.
Yes, and it is still going on. It's in July this year.
Oh, it is?
Yep.
Sweet. I guess we should go. Okay, with conferences, never forget or underestimate the social aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Conferences are social things. Yes, we do the education. Yes, we go for the speakers. Yes, we go, you know, to see new cities. But fundamentally, the main thing people want to do is network and make friends.
Exactly.
That's like the main thing.
They want to meet the other weirdos like them.
Yes. Whether it's talking about plagiarism or haunting, you want to meet the other weirdos who think about the things and like the things you like.
Exactly.
So make sure to leave in lots of social time. However, the trick is you have to also discourage people from just hanging out with people they know.
Yeah.
This can be very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if you have classes, leave some time between them.
Please.
The conference I was at this past week, and my only real gripe is that between some of the classes, there was only 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Other than the daylight savings time thing.
Yeah, having to get there for...
Basically 6:30.
Yeah.
On Sunday, what was biologically 6:30?
Yeah, I can't believe they started at 7:30. I think that's the earliest start for a conference I've ever
crazy.
Heard of.
But other than that, okay. The other one was they had only 5 minutes between things. Now, you've got to get from room to room. Speakers have to change out. Some of you probably got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You want a drink of water or some coffee. There's not enough time.
Yeah.
There's not enough time to do all that and meet people.
And that you also have to build in time for speakers who are going to run long.
Yes, exactly.
It's going to happen.
So leave time between your classes if you have them. And also an idea that I thought worked pretty well at HauntCon this year is have sessions for people to meet who have common interests.
Yeah.
They had round table sessions, which literally you sat around a round table, and this is the home haunters table, this is the haunt actor table, this is the mega haunt table, you know what I mean?
Yeah, this is the escape room table, this is the marketing table.
Exactly, so whatever your interest was, you could find people that were interested in the same thing and chat with them.
Right.
It was actually a really good idea, and it got you away from your personal clique a little bit.
Right.
Because you're going to meet some different people this way. And that's the thing. You're trying to create networking moments. And you can't do that if people stay within their own groups constantly.
No.
So make sure that you have activities and games, etc., or things to do that have that group focus. And most importantly, that shuffle the deck of cards somehow.
Yeah.
Get people near different people.
Yeah. Let people pick their teams, and then they have to switch, like, every other one.
Yeah. There are many opportunities here for this. Mm-hmm. All right. Announcing and marketing. The best way to promote it is where the people you want to reach are. That sounds like a dumb moment.
Yeah.
But you'd be so surprised when there are people who just blast things out without thinking about how to reach their actual target.
Yeah.
If you're trying to reach, you know, haunters in, say, West Virginia or whatever, then you need to get into the West Virginia haunters groups.
Yeah.
And announce there.
Exactly.
You don't need to be blasting it out nationwide or
no.
On your general Facebook or whatever. You need to go to where they are. You can also work through and with relevant haunts. And just use the contacts you have. Hopefully, you've got strong contacts in the area you're trying to serve. So, if you have that, use them.
Mm-hmm.
And make heavy, heavy use of social media. Social media and conferences really go hand in hand. That's both Twitter and Facebook, and probably the Snapchats and the...
Right, and be sure to have your own hashtags for the conference for during it.
Very good point. Both before and during.
Yep.
And publicize them.
Yes.
Oh my God. I forgot about that. The conference I was at didn't publicize the hashtag.
Oh.
And then I used the wrong hashtag in my presentation.
Oh.
I didn't find that out till later.
Oh, well, their mistake. Don't be that asshole.
Anyways, such a great conference.
Uh-huh.
Now I feel like I'm picking on it. They were really great. I really enjoyed myself. I feel like I'm being mean. I feel like a bully here.
You should just keep going.
Anyways. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about money then.
Yeah.
Making and losing money. Conferences earned... their revenues most of the time from just five things. Ticket sales, including upgrades and VIP experiences.
Right.
Sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
You'll always see this conference is sponsored by blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
This is where they will partner with a restaurant and maybe exchange a restaurant nearby or with the hotel or something and exchange part of the revenue that the conference sends them. Kind of like an agency fee. That it's a little less common, but it does happen.
Yeah.
Other advertising, such as on the conference website and its program. Anything that's not a traditional sponsorship, but it's just a pure advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
And merchandising.
Yeah. And if they have a trade show floor, also selling out booths.
Yeah. Sorry, I guess I fell that underneath ticket sales in my head, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah, Yeah, I think it might be a little bit different, too different to count.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
Okay.
you are. I think you're right. I'm putting it in the notes now.
Huh. Okay, there.
See, it's in the notes now. Now I know it's legit. but yeah, no, trade show floor, obviously, if there's a trade show floor, the vendor booths will pay a certain amount. Now, here's the way conferences spend money. My note, it's a longer list.
Yeah.
Location fees and food, if food is provided.
Right.
And most conferences provide at least something.
Yeah.
I mean, not all, but some provide at least a little bit. Most provide at least, like, waters and sodas and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Supplies for the conference, you know, your signs, your tablecloths, your programs, things like that. Things you have to print and make for the conference. Staff fees, travel for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Rental cars, etc. Any speaker fees / speaker cost. Payment processing can take a huge chunk, and the list really does go on and on and on.
Yeah.
There's a ton of ways. There's always more ways to spend money than make money.
Yes.
It's one of the frustrations. So here's the thing. If you want to have another conference next year, you obviously need to take more money in, or at least the same amount in, that you spend.
Right.
One piece of advice I've read multiple times over is, as with housing, make sure that your location is no more than 30% of your expected revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Plan the rest accordingly, but leave a large buffer for unexpected expenses, because there will be unexpected expenses. And this buffer can be large relatively.
Yeah.
You can put on a modest conference for about $1,000.
Okay.
You find a $300 venue.
Mm-hmm.
You play in a couple, maybe like $100 or $200 in food, get some pizzas like, you know, they're doing in Mount Carroll. And, you know, you got a little bit of extra cash there for signs and some decorations and whatnot.
Yeah, and if you give goodie bags or anything like that.
Exactly. You got a little extra cash there, but you still leave like $200 for unplanned expenses.
Right.
The $200 is a fairly large amount to leave for unplanned expenses.
Yeah.
But, hey, that's 20%.
Yeah.
You know, think about it that way. Look at it as a percentage, not as a raw dollar amount.
Mm-hmm.
Your $1,000 or $5,000 conference doesn't need $1 million for unplanned expenses.
No.
Okay, selling tickets. Online ticket sales will be your primary means of selling. Just the way it is, almost no conference sells a lot the day of. In my experience, I've almost never seen same deals. In fact, there were a couple times I've gone to registration for a conference and thought about, man, I should have just bought my ticket here. That line is way shorter than the one I'm in.
Yeah, that happens a lot at South By.
Yeah, it happens a lot at South By. It happened at HauntCon this year.
Yeah.
Really, I thought hard about that. But here's the thing. It lets you know how many people to expect, so you have an idea of how you're doing with the ticket sales. It enables cutoff of event sales when full, and it and basically you also have to remember that you will have some no shows. Now, how many no shows you have depends upon a million different variables. But basically, if the cheaper the conference is, and the closer it is to where the proximity to where your people are coming from, the more no shows you're going to get. Basically, the easier it is to bail in terms of cost.
Gotcha.
The more likely people are going to bail. General advice is try to keep ticket ordering as simple as possible while providing choices. I do believe you should offer VIP and upgraded experience or special events that are additional purchase.
Mm-hmm.
But don't have 15,000 goddamn things in your options.
Right. And also, real quick, on the ticket booth, make sure that you have multiple lines for people who have already... who are like speakers and getting the free tickets.
Yeah.
So that those don't get intermingled with your
paid
with your sales.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
the point. Also, one other piece of advice. I have seen many conferences doing the most annoying things in the world here with ticket sales, which is they start out with a ticket price, and when people don't bite at that ticket price, they lower it, they lower it, they lower it, they lower it.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep lowering until they're almost basically making it rain tickets.
Right.
And what happens is the people who are buying tickets at the end of the line are getting them for, like, we'll say $5. And the people that paid $75 at the front of the line are pissed off. They paid full price for a ticket they bought way earlier.
Exactly.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Basically offer, and I like this idea, came from Trey.
Mm-hmm.
Offer an early bird price.
Mm-hmm.
And then knock it up to full price. And then if you have to drop it down, drop it down. But never drop it below the early bird price.
Yeah, no, that's completely reasonable. Like, I knew that the Black Friday sale ticket prices were better than the early bird prices.
At Hong Kong?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, or at least equivalent.
At least as good. Yeah,
at
I don't remember if they were
good.
Better, but they were at least as good.
At least as good, and I knew that if I missed it, which I did, that they would be going on sale again mid to late December,
which they did,
and that's when I bought my ticket.
Yeah.
Because I knew that I had those chances to buy at the lower rate later on.
Yeah, you want to encourage people to buy early whenever possible, because A, that's cash flow into you,
yeah,
and B, that lets you tally what you need and how much
right.
space you have. And also, basically, the other good thing about online ticketing is if you sell out, good problem,
mm-hmm.
you can just do... And
yeah.
kill ticket sales.
Yeah,
you're
and
done.
It's basically the complete opposite of At a Haunt.
Yeah.
Because at New Orleans Nightmare House, when they had their Christmas thing, they sold some online tickets ahead of time.
We did.
We bought ahead of time because, you know,
we saw... They sold two. I can confirm they sold two.
Yes, but when we got there, there was a huge line, and they said, we didn't expect all of these people to show up to buy tickets at the gate.
Yeah.
But... That happened.
Yeah.
And it's the exact opposite of that with conferences.
Yeah, conferences don't happen that way. That's just a general thing.
Yeah.
All right. So, running the event itself. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give you a lot of advice for that. Mm-hmm. And the reason is there ain't much advice anyone can give you. The main thing is, remember, something will go wrong. It's okay. Something always goes wrong.
Yeah.
All conferences are simply loosely controlled chaos.
Yeah.
Just accept that and roll with it. Be flexible, adapt, and overcome. One great piece of advice is if the event is larger than 50 attendees, make sure that your staff have walkie-talkies. So that way you can find and communicate with one another easily.
Mm-hmm.
If the crowd... Because you don't want to get, you know, your people lost in the crowd.
Right.
And make sure that the times for everything are clearly marked everywhere. The thing that causes chaos quickest at a conference is not knowing what's going on.
Right. The times and the maps.
Yeah.
Times
and maps posted all up in the shop, because those two things will cause the most confusion and the most chaos right off the bat.
Yes. And I would love, I've never seen it, but I would love to see a place where there is a person stationed to help the speakers. Like if they're having a problem with their AV equipment, I know to go here to find a person who will get on a walkie to call the person over.
Yeah.
To say, hey, get to this room now.
Yeah.
That would be very helpful instead of running around.
Trying to find the AV guy.
Trying to find the AV guy because I saw him once.
I know what he looks like.
Exactly. And if I hadn't seen him, I wouldn't know who I was looking for.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Very good point. So, yeah, basically, it's loosely controlled chaos. Just try to keep your cool.
Yeah.
Don't freak out. It will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
After the event, make sure to meet up with your staff and go through all the lessons that you've learned.
Yep.
Keep a journal of what things that happened during the event that you can fix and address and improve.
Yes.
And most importantly, get feedback from your event goers.
Yeah.
Every good conference I've been to has sent a survey. I just filled out my ICAI survey today.
Yeah.
They send you a great survey. Where you can, like, rank stuff and talk about your experience, offer suggestions, say what you liked, what you didn't like, and you can use that to improve next year.
Yep.
Now, with most of this, we've talked a fair amount about haunters, but most of this is general stuff that could apply to anyone. So here's a few things about particularly haunted attraction and haunter-related conventions.
Yeah.
One, many places will be reluctant to rent to haunters.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It's a stupid prejudice. I think a lot of places believe we're just going to tear crap up.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Or they just don't want to be connected with evil or whatever. I don't know what it's about right now. Don't fight it. Just move on from it. It's my advice. Don't offer any special considerations. Move on. If the place was really meant to be the place that you host the event, or if that was really supposed to be your caterer or whatever,
yeah, they'd want you there.
They'd want you there. Don't go somewhere you're not wanted. It makes the whole conference suck.
Yeah, so we shouldn't have it in churches.
No, that'd be a good one. That's a good tip. Remember, the haunters will probably arrive in a group of their own.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're kind of unusual. We're home haunters. We show up as just two.
Right.
But most times at like HauntCon and so forth, people show up in groups of six and larger as they're bringing their haunt family.
Exactly.
So, yeah, think about that and think about how you're going to break them out of that to force a little networking.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a little extra for like the ICAI conference. Pretty much everyone was there by themselves.
Yeah.
Or if they were there, they had like two or three other people. They didn't have a group.
Mm-hmm.
That's much easier to break up. That's much easier to jumble the marbles around. We don't have that luxury, so you got to think about that a little harder. Think about things that haunters don't get a lot of and offer that. The big one, of course, is always going to see other haunts. You and I do.
Yeah.
But other haunters don't get to go to other haunts because they're working all season.
Yeah.
It's the busy time. They're also going to meet like-minded people. That's mm-hmm. one of the reasons to incorporate lots of good meeting time. And they want new people to tell all their awesome stories to.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing that haunters like better than sharing their haunt stories.
Exactly.
And also, remember to do some theming of the conference. It doesn't have to be like crazy. You don't have to build an actual haunted house. Just, you know, something to indicate that this is a spooky place. And that this is an environment for spooky people.
Yeah.
Even if it's cheesy Halloween stuff, something to say, hey, you're in the Halloween in the haunt crowd now.
Right. Exactly.
That's all. Hmm. Just a little something. You don't have to break the bank on this. And also, for the love of freaking God, I'm looking at a few of the conferences further down the line in our conference reminders. Don't book during peak times.
Mm-hmm.
September through the end of the year is a no-go zone.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because obviously September and October are season, and mm-hmm. the early November.
Right.
And I would say November is Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
and December is obviously Christmas. So you get like a few weekends, maybe you could consider it, like here and there, but in general, no, that's just no-go time. That last 4 months... No, it's pretty much a non-starter for this. You know, like I said, you have to slip it in a weekend, like either in early, like in mid-November or late December,
mm-hmm.
to get around those holidays. The exception, of course, is Legendary Haunt Tour.
Right.
They get to do it because they're going the weekend after most haunts close, and it's a haunt tour, so they're trying to go to the haunts while they're still set up and have actors and things.
Right, exactly.
So they get to be the exception to the rule. But in general, don't book during those months. Don't be stupid.
Yeah.
You know, there's literally, and this is true, there's literally a Halloween cruise
mm-hmm.
that is leaving from New Orleans.
Yeah.
That looks awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to go on, and tickets aren't that bad.
I know.
Tickets are actually really good price. We could probably afford it.
Yeah.
And we can't go.
Well, no.
Because it departs at 7 p.m. on fucking Halloween.
Yeah.
You motherfuckers!
Exactly. Just like it did last year.
Yeah. It's a haunt cruise. It looks awesome.
Yeah.
I've never taken a cruise.
No.
Kind of always wanted to.
Yeah.
And a Halloween cruise sounds perfect, but I guess it has to depart on Halloween or it doesn't count as a Halloween cruise. Literally, if it left the next day, we'd probably be on the fucker.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not kidding.
Would. No.
We probably would be.
Yeah.
Because by that point, we need the break.
Exactly.
Anyways, that is all for this week. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your patience in us getting this episode out late. Honestly, to those of you wanting to do haunted attraction conferences, good luck.
Yeah.
I think it's worthwhile. I think there's a lot of things you can do. I think there are a lot of areas that are underserved. I hope to see you do it. And if you do, message us at hauntweekly.com or hauntweekly on Twitter and Facebook and let us know so we can put in the conference reminders.
Yeah.
And while you're there, go to tinyurl.com/hauntweekly. That's our YouTube channel.
Oh.
All the previous episodes are there, and we're also on iTunes, Google Play, Stitch, wherever you like getting your podcasts from. We're probably there somewhere. So until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode 171, talking about getting a haunted attraction conference off the ground. Next week's 172. That means it's time to do
the news.
We'll see you then.